Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Researchers tell us that a person needs to hear new information at least 3 times before it registers into his or her memory or mind for immediate recollection. We have to hear it at least 3 times. And that's 3 times where we're paying attention. Because the enemy works very hard for us not to recall. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about what are some of the layers or potential obstacles to hearing and processing information clearly and accurately? What are some of the hindrances that cause us to not be able to hear something and then to retain it? And some of the more obvious ones would be state of health. That if you're physically not well, or if you're exhausted, it's very hard to hear things. Another would be state of mind. If you're filled with anxiety or depression, which of course goes along with the state of our emotions. If you're angry, jealous, resentful, bitter, stress from your job, that's a big one. Stress in relationships. There are a lot of layers that can get in the way. You sit down to read the Word of God and all you can think about is the bills you got to pay. Financial problems. Too often we're overcommitted. Too many things to do. I have to do this and I have to do that. Sometimes it's just the mindset and the prejudices that come along with that. Our background can create difficulty. We hear something and it means something else. Distractions in general. Previous experiences. Even the cares of this world entering in. You can see that there's a lot of layers. There's a lot of layers. There are many things that can get in the way. Many things. And any one of these layers can interfere with your ability to focus on what you're hearing at the moment. And the enemy does his best in that. The Bible talks about how he goes around looking for someone to devour. Anybody know where it says that? Yep, that's right. Yep. First Peter. He's looking for someone. Looking for someone who's distracted, who's feeling pressure, who is angry, who is insecure, who is not feeling well. Any number of these things. And he's looking to steal the Word of God out of your heart. Perhaps because you didn't understand it clearly. Sometimes we don't realize that when we are reading the Word, we have got to, what does the Bible say? Pay more careful attention to the things we have heard, lest we, actually it literally says, lest we run out as leaky vessels. Where does it say that? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Running out as a leaky vessel because we didn't pay careful attention. Now, the Bible compares our heart to a variety of soils. Parable of the soils. And that's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we're just going to look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Who would like to read that for me, loud and clear? Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23.
Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Amen. Now this is describing or comparing your heart, my heart, to soil. And that we can be any one of these four types at any time. I used to think initially that it was this is what you were, period. But I realized that we kind of move through these. We cycle through. Because there are days when you just don't feel like it. You know, you just don't feel like it. You can be tired, annoyed. But the soil of your heart on that day could be hard. Could be just hard. I believe that, I won't say everyone because that's, I don't know that, but many, 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 many Christians go through this cycle where there's days when it's just not working for you. And the soil is hard. There's no penetration of the word into the soil of the heart. The enemy comes and he snatches it away. Maybe it was intellectually received only. Maybe it wasn't received at all. There was no pondering, no musing of it, no attempt to grasp or comprehend or understand the meaning of the word that is spoken. And that has to happen, because just like if I had a seed here and I throw it on the ground, but I don't do anything else, what's likely to happen? Nothing. Why not? Come on, why not? Didn't prepare the soil. The seed needs to have a soil that has been prepared to receive it. And we all kind of understand that, don't we? I mean, even those of us who know nothing about farming or those things understand that if you drop a seed on hard soil, hard ground, it's not likely to do anything except sit there. The word has to be received in its proper soil. The problem that we run into is that the word has to get through the layers of our heart, the layers, the things that are going on inside of us, and everybody's got them. Everybody. And that list that I read, does it bear witness at all?
Yes.
Of course it does. That's life. There are difficulties, and there are distractions, and irritations, and all kinds of other things that are going on that can easily easily distract us from the Word, because the Word is a living Word. It's living. And there is a life in it, Jesus said. He said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. So if they're spirit and their life, then they have to be received into a living soil. And when they're not, the enemy rejoices because he knows we're not going to get a thing out of it. Nothing. It takes work to receive it. See, another part of the soil talks about someone who receives the word with joy. Absolute joy. He hears about prosperity and how God wants to prosper. That's all he can think about. But he doesn't ponder or meditate in this word. He doesn't understand all the things that go along. The word is not isolated. And he sees others that are prospering and enjoying prosperity. And he wonders if it'll work for him. What do you think happens? Well, typically what happens for someone like that with the what if I tithe, God owes me. No, sorry, he doesn't. He doesn't owe us a thing. He blesses us, but he doesn't owe us. You know. Now the Bible does say, put me to the test. That's the only area in the Bible where he says that. But there are so many other factors that come into this relationship with the Lord. It's not isolated. See, if I'm tithing and I hate your guts, guess what happens? It blocks it. It blocks it. It's not an isolated quid pro quo, you know? Nothing in the Word of God is. Nothing. In fact, one day I've been meditating on this for over a year, this particular area of unforgiveness. And the more I meditate and read about it, the more concerned I become, because the Bible is seemingly, and I'll say seemingly because it's not totally settled yet, but it's seemingly saying that unforgiveness will block everything. No matter what else you're doing right, if you're harboring bitterness and unforgiveness, everything else goes to the wayside. Now, I'm hoping this year I'll be able to do that message, because it's extremely important and it affects every one of us. Every one of us. There's no one who doesn't get hurt and offended and attacked and put off. We all do. And unfortunately, the enemy is very effective. But the Bible's very clear that even in situations where I would seemingly have a right to be offended, it doesn't seem to matter. I don't have that right in Jesus. That he has forgiven me. And that if I don't embrace forgiveness, it's going to block all kinds of stuff. In fact, there are some people who believe, and they've taught it with some credibility, that unforgiveness is the unpardonable sin. And the reason for that being that God can't forgive if you don't forgive. So it remains unforgiven. Anyway, I'm not at the place yet to do that, but I will talk about it at some point, because I think it's remarkably important for us. We don't want to miss God because of that. We don't. But I want to be sure when I talk about it. I don't want to just give my opinion on things. So in this case here, the layers that we're looking to get through have to be carefully looked at. You know, why am I doing this? And if I start to imagine, well, what if it doesn't work? You know, I'm doing this, what if it doesn't work? Or some affliction comes along and I think, well, God's not, you know, why did God allow this to happen? How could God let this happen? And I become angry towards God. It's his fault. We wouldn't say it out loud necessarily, but we're thinking, why, when I'm pressing in and doing everything right in my mind, why would God allow this? You know? Well, you look at the life of Jesus. Did he do everything right? Of course he did. And yet, what happened to him? He was rejected. He was beaten. I mean, he was... many times they just wanted to kill him. It's hard to understand the mindset of the people of those days when you see that Jesus healed someone and now they want to kill him. I mean, I have a hard time with that mindset, because that's not my mindset. I would think you'd cheer and say hallelujah, but they didn't. They went out and they plotted, how can we kill him? Because he has healed on the Sabbath. That's a hard mindset to come to terms with. But they were so legalistic. The rules were so much more important than people. And today, we have a lot of people have mindsets that they see things in a particular way and can't see past it. Just can't see past it. And that's why it's so important we need prayer. We need prayer for ourselves and for others, that we may see and that they may see as well. Because when that happens and someone's praying and they think they're doing all the right things and persecution comes, they start to feel like, where's God in this? Why isn't he doing more? Why isn't he doing something? And we wonder where he is. And that bitterness can set in, and a love of God can start to turn cold. In fact, that's where the Bible says. Jesus actually warned. He said in the last days, what did he say in the last days? What was going to happen? Say again?
Our hearts will grow cold.
You know, and now if Jesus said that, then it's got to be true. And why are the hearts growing cold? Why? Lawlessness will increase. Lawlessness will increase. What does that mean? Well, it means that, you know, you're worshiping and loving God and reading your Bible and doing everything you can, and then somebody you work with stabs you in the back and you miss out on a promotion. And you think, how could God let that happen? How could he allow that to happen? And you start to meditate on that, and there's a kind of a bitterness that comes in. Now, that's just one example, but there could be any number of things that happen, and our hearts, whether we intend to or not, it's kind of saying, wait a minute, that's not fair. That's not fair. Well, guess what? Life is not fair. Life's not fair. And that's why the Bible tells us we've got to guard your heart. Guard it. So that these kind of things don't plant seeds in us. Because resentment is a very poor companion to have. A very poor companion. Because when that happens, people often start to develop their own theology. You know that, for example, God doesn't always heal. Because Aunt Mabel was the holiest thing that ever lived and she didn't get healed. Or sometimes God sends you sickness or problems to teach you things. You know, that makes as much sense as a person taking their 2-year-old and saying, I've told you not to touch the stove 5 times, so take your hand and put it on the burner. That's not a way to teach somebody, is it? And what would we do with them? They'd go to jail. Or worse. Often they think prosperity is only for the elite. But prosperity is relative. You know, and to people who are over in third world countries, prosperity could be clean water. I mean, it's North America has kind of quite a different interpretation, shall we say. And you don't want to develop a mindset that contradicts the Word of God. That's why self-awareness is really important. It's really important that we ask God to help us to sift through our own layers. Our own layers. Because otherwise you get a mentality that says, well, I tried that, but it doesn't work. God's Word doesn't always do what it says He will do. And so what happens is we start to live in a world of experience rather than truth. We start to live in a world of feelings and thought attacks. And that misdirects how we interpret the Word of God. You know, the other one here in Matthew, the third one here, hears the same gospel, but their mind is filled with the cares of the world. They're feeling the pressure of monthly bills. And they believe, you know what? I can't obey the Word of God and tithe and still pay my bills. And so the devil's got them. They have turned the Word of God. And see, that's where the deceitfulness of wealth can choke the Word. And it becomes unfruitful. Only the Holy Spirit of God can interpret the truth for us properly. Only the Holy Spirit. And that's why we desperately need God. We need not just His counsel, but we need His interpretation of things. What does He have to say about something? Our relationship with the Lord is the most important relationship we'll ever have.
Amen.
Eventually we get to the place where we don't have time to meditate in the Word because we're too busy. We're just too busy. Got too many commitments, too many things to do, and at night I need to relax, so I need to watch TV and fill my mind with that. Or we get influenced by the lifestyle of our peers. It's not that important to Joe. He doesn't come to prayer. He doesn't read his Bible, and he's doing okay. You know, I have to live in the real world. That's a dangerous place to be. See, the problem is the heart gets cold. And when, as the heart gets cold, things make sense that didn't make sense before. All of a sudden, things that our behavior becomes justified. My resentment towards you is okay now because my heart's grown a little colder. You know, I don't have to tie it to God because I have financial commitments. He understands that. Just a little bit colder. And see, the problem with this is that as that's happening, the soil is hardening. The soil is hardening. Then all of a sudden there's a crisis and we need God to do a miracle. But there's no faith there, you see. Because the Bible says if our heart does not condemn us, does that sound familiar at all?
Yeah.
1 John. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God and receive the things that we ask Him. But in our heart, we know we're not right with God. We know we're not right. And then the last one is the good soil. They hear the Word, they understand it, they meditate in it. In fact, I believe it's Luke 8:15. Oh, let me read it. Let's get it right. The ones that fell on the good ground, the seed that fell on the good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart. Noble and good heart. A noble and good heart. What's a noble and good heart, do you think? See, that's the requirement by God for a successful planting, a noble and good heart. So yeah, the question you got to ask yourself is, do I have a noble and good heart? And I'll tell you what it means. Good as to the quality and character, giving appropriate measure and attention, virtuous and of good character. Now you ask yourself, does that describe my heart? And it says, hear the word. Well, that means to listen with attention, which comes as no surprise. It says to understand and hear with the ear of the mind. What's the ear of the mind? Ear of the mind. Interesting, isn't it? Ear of the mind. Did you know you have an ear of the mind? That means it's penetrating and it's getting into your spirit through your mind. But it's getting past the layers. Past the layers. And the layers, they can be very dangerous for us. Because we easily justify things. You know? And we easily justify. I've told you many times, I had a spirit of anger. Not an attitude, but a spirit of anger. And I justified it. I don't have a problem. If you didn't annoy me, I wouldn't get angry. You know? Very easy to justify. And it goes on and says, keep it. They keep it. What does that mean, they keep it? See, keeping it in here is not enough. It means that they retain and take hold of this word. It's mine. It becomes a part of me. Me. And how does that happen? It starts to become part of my spiritual digestion, if you will. That takes work. That takes work. Because now goes on to say, and bear fruit with patience. Bear fruit with patience. So you see, it's not a simple thing here. The patience is to persevere. That quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It'll be tested. Absolutely it'll be tested. Everything that you get from God will be tested. It'll be tested. The enemy, not by God, but by the enemy. To see, will you hang on? Will you believe? Will you believe? You're going to go through a time when he's going to try to pull it out of your hands or pull it out of your body or out of your mind. And we'll see, will you hang on to it? Will you persevere? And take hold of it. So you can see that every single one of these four conditions has layers to deal with. It has layers. And it's not by accident that Paul was successful in his ministry. He had to, first of all, overcome the mindset of a Pharisee. They were the ones, their mindset was, heal on the Sabbath, die. Now I have to admit, seeing Jesus appear in the light would have some profound effect on your theology. But he was severely tested, severely tested. And he had to unlearn all or much of the teaching that he had spent years filling his mind with. Then he had to persevere under great persecution and many death threats. I mean, this is a guy who was thrown in the dungeon. He was beaten. He was whipped. They tried to drown him. They stoned him. I mean, he had a lot of really miserable experiences. I don't ever hear anyone praying, God, let me have Paul's experiences. No one ever prays that. No one. Including me, by the way. His life was hard. But he had all kinds of revelations from God. All kinds. And he is the only one that I'm aware of in the Bible where it talks, I think it's Acts 19:11, where it says that handkerchiefs that Paul had prayed over were taken to people and they were delivered from diseases. We need to learn to hold fast to the Word of God during times of testing. Everyone will be tested. Everyone. I'm sorry if you didn't know that, but it's reality. There are no exceptions. And the best way to proceed in this is to let God sift your heart and show you the layers or the obstacles that are in your life so that you can diminish it at least a little bit, you know? Limit the amount of areas that the enemy can come after you, or try to limit them. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it's talking about God, search my heart, see if there's any wicked way. It's asking God to expose the filters and the defense mechanisms that we have in place or develop to protect ourselves from potential pain. We need to repent to God and ask Him to expose them. Expose them, Lord. Why? So that they can't hurt us anymore. So the enemy can't use them. And you know, in order to change, you have to soak your mind. Soak it in the things of God. You have to soak your mind so that it starts to think differently. And that means spending quality time. Quality time. In the Word. Think about where you're going to spend eternity. Where are you going for eternity? Where are you going to be? Where do you hope to be? We all hope to be in heaven, I'm assuming. We all hope to be in heaven. Well, in order to be able to, quote, fit in, we would like to have the mindset of the people in heaven. So do I have that now? So I need to be believing that God is working His truth into my life. The Bible tells us, I believe in Mark 12:30, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and your strength, and so forth. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. How many people do we know that we could say they love God with all of their heart, their mind, all of their strength? I mean, how many, really, that we know to say that person loves God with everything within them? That's the expectation from God. He tells us to watch over our heart in Proverbs, and the reason for that is that that's where things kind of sneak in. They sneak in into the heart. We don't mean for them to get in. Something happens and we're angry or upset about it and something sneaks in and we feel resentful. And before you know it, the enemy's worked it into a great big thing and you know we have to leave or we have to do something else or we have to... You know what I'm saying? Like it just... It's destructive. It's absolutely destructive. God doesn't want that to happen to us. But He won't make us do anything. God does not make you do things. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us into truth, not drive us into truth. But He will help us. He will help us. See, the things that I don't deal with here, they're waiting for me. They don't go away. They're waiting for me. The things that you don't deal with here are waiting for you. Every idle word, ouch, will give an account. Is that a familiar scripture? You will give an account. I will give. In fact, we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's not my favorite Bible verse, let me tell you. Every idle word will give an account for. Every. Not every other one, but every idle word. Now is the time. Now, while you're living and breathing here on planet Earth, now is the time to get it right. And we can only do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. He's here to help us. God will help us from negative and destructive thought patterns. He will help us if we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's very easy to get caught up in the things of the world. You know, very easy. Yeah. Any one of us, all of us do that, you know. And then it's only as we sit with the Lord and ask Him, help me. God, help me. And He will. He will help us. He will help us if we're honest with Him. If we're honest. I don't want to have a big pile of things waiting for me. Bad things, you know. I don't want that. I'm sure you don't either. And the way that we do that is to deal with them here. It's very simple. You know, God, show me, let me repent, let me change my ways. And as I do that, they're not waiting for me anymore. They're dealt with. And that's what we want. What I'm saying for us today is that we want to have a healthy, happy relationship with God.
Amen.
And He does too. We don't want to be a part of those who are hearts growing cold. I don't want my heart to grow cold. I don't want it to. I'm sure you don't either. You know. But if we don't actively do something, it will happen. It just happens, you know, it's like if you just keep eating. You know what I mean? Like it's a natural cause and effect. You have to do something. You have to do something. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Well, let's just take a few moments and ponder on that and ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's anything at all that's in your heart, any layers, and what He wants you to do with it. You know, you don't have to tell anybody else, just keep it to